Today's opening day for the administration's cyber identity strategy. And the National Strategy for Trusted Identities in Cyberspace is the brainchild of the White House and the Commerce Department. The idea is very simple: to create an online secure portal to make online transactions more trustworthy. Jeremy Grant's a senior executive advisor at NIST and heads up the National Trusted Identities Program and is a record setter. Jeremy, you're the first guest I've ever had on representing three different organizations at different times.
I don't know if that's a reflection of my longevity talking to folks at Fed News Radio or my propensity to keep doing different things that I find interesting, but I'm glad to set that record regardless.
I'm happy to have you on. Talk about this concept and the introduction of it today.
Sure. Well, we had a great event hosted by the U.S. Chamber of Commerce earlier this morning where Secretary Locke spoke and formally announced the release of the National Strategy for Trusted Identities in Cyberspace, or NSTIC, from the White House. We also had speeches from Gene Sperling, who directs the National Economic Council, Howard Schmidt, who's the President's Cybersecurity Advisor. Senator Mikulski came and spoke as well. And we had a great panel of industry experts from Google and PayPal, along with privacy advocates, both Leslie Harris from the CDT, as well as Susan Lambda, who's a privacy advocate who's currently a fellow at Harvard. So it was a great event today to finally get the NSTIC kicked off. In terms of talking about what it is, I actually want to go back and say, you said it's a simple concept, but the way you guys just talked about it, I want to be clear, it's not a secure online portal. What we're really talking about here is how to get stronger credentials in the hands of ordinary Americans that they can use to better protect themselves online, both from a security perspective as well as from a privacy perspective.
What is the kind of the story behind setting this up and getting it up and running? The idea of it is perfectly logical, makes sense, and it seems like with the increasing awareness in among rank and file citizens in protecting identity in cybersecurity and so on, that it won't be hard to explain to people. But talk about how you got it to the point where it was ready to blast off today.
Sure. Well, I'll tell you, first of all, it was a lot of other people besides me. I've only been at NIST. This is the end of my eighth week here. And this really started as an outgrowth of President Obama's cyberspace policy review back in 2009, where the administration identified, 10 near-term actions, one of which was to start looking at how identity is managed online and create a more trusted system that could both bring added layers of security for individuals to transactions, as well as protect privacy and civil liberties. So from there, there's a big team of people. It was led by the White House, but an interagency effort as well to bring the strategy to the point where it was today, ready for release. Talking about NSTIC, it's really aiming to solve a couple of problems. The first is that passwords become unwieldy and all too often fail. And by that I mean most folks are either trying to manage 25 different passwords, where they are carrying them around in the notebook or in their wallet, and they're getting more and more complex. You're being asked to change them every 2 or 3 months, and they're easily stolen through a variety of malware or other attacks, or everybody's using one or two passwords and using them everywhere they go, which means if you get your password for one site, you suddenly have the keys to the castle for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The second big issue is 18 years after the famous New Yorker cartoon, people still don't know that you're a dog online. And sometimes that's fine. There's a lot of things you do online where you want to be anonymous or perhaps pseudonymous, under a pseudonym. But there's a lot of things a lot of transactions that aren't online today because the risk model is such that the groups you would be doing a transaction with, say, a party who would be a reliant party, to accept your credentials, and your identity, don't have any trust that the credential you're presenting or the identity is strong. They essentially say, well, if it's just a password, it probably isn't worth that much.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a result, there's a lot of things that really can't be brought online easily today, both in government and the private sector. So at its core, the National Strategy for Trusted Identities in Cyberspace is focused on, well, how can we tackle that? And, the White House put the strategy out. NIST is now in the lead to implement it. And, our plans for going forward are, in large part to do what NIST has done so well for years, which is promoting coordination between the private sector and the public sector and, you know, development of both standards and best practices for cybersecurity.
I'm encouraged to hear about the participation of the private sector in this, because my horror story on this, Jeremy, is that there is a website that I use on a fairly regular basis to conduct financial business. And one of the requirements, this is a requirement, I can't do this unless I use as one element of identification my Social Security number. And I've registered every kind of complaint with this organization that I possibly can. And it is such a pain to do business through the mail. It's not something that I can do over the phone. And so the idea that you're creating awareness of this kind of thing among private sector people, I think, is tremendous.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you that there's been technologies that have been out there for years. I think that the reason it's been hard for people to get away from something where, I mean, when you're talking about the Social Security number as part of your login, is an awful situation.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I'm sorry to hear you have to go through that. But you know, whether it's that or whether it's weak username and passwords, what's been harder for, you know, folks who'd like to get something stronger is there hasn't been interoperability. The technologies have been costly, and there's been privacy concerns. So, you know, what we want to look at is, you know, how can we develop technical standards and operating rules and best practices under the auspices of NIST that can really help to address all these things, and, you know, with that, put a foundation in place where it's much easier for folks to get stronger technologies to manage their identity in a trusted way. But as you mentioned, we firmly believe the private sector has to lead here. I think the government understands that we cannot and should not prescribe what the tech solutions are going to be, and you know, it's just not something we're good at, and something the private sector generally is. So what's really interesting about the strategy, and why I was, you know, frankly eager to come back into government to play a role in its implementation, was it really strikes the right balance between government, you know, setting out the goals and the aspirations of what we like to see, but then leveraging the power of the private sector and the, you know, great ideas and innovation that come from entrepreneurs in order to develop and deploy it. And it's a very interesting balance that I think is going to provide a great model for doing other things around cybersecurity.
We've got...